Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, MF Beck and Travis Highland. What's happening, my boys?
What's up, gangster? How's it going, Don?
Oh, just running ragged like a man. I tell you what, this last weekend made me realize that I'm fucking old.
Well, I mean, shit, you know, there ain't too many people alive nowadays that are around before slash bread. Shit, I think you're doing good.
I tell you what, sitting here yesterday afternoon, I had like over 4,000 pictures to go through. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, you get these fighters, you're at an event, and they see the promotion pay you, and they're like, how in the hell does he get more money than me, and I'm fighting? And I look at him, I said, bro, I gladly would trade places with you. What do you mean? I said, man, after I shoot this, I got to go back to the hotel or drive straight back to where I'm from. Sit here until 6 o'clock in the morning editing this stuff, then Dropbox it to the promotion so they can get it all posted. And I said, so by the time I'm theoretically done with it, I've got like 40 hours into one night. I said, oh, man, never mind. I don't want your job. Yeah, you don't want my job. It's, you know, being a photographer isn't as fun as everybody thinks it is. I mean, I tell you what, I love shooting it. I just don't like editing this shit. You know, I saw some things that transpired in the news this week that, God, I usually don't watch the news. This is what's so weird. You know, on one hand, you got people praising Donald Trump for what he's doing, you know, wanting to bring jobs to the country, wanting to extend his help, you know, his hand out to, you know, other countries, you know, Russia, Korea, other places, and do business. But then on the other hand, I look at issues that we've talked about in the past, and I think it has relevance today because, you know, I heard a commercial, and it wasn't from a liberal party. It was from a right to work, you know, state group, and they said, you know, it's great creating all these jobs that are $11 an hour, but $11 an hour just doesn't create an atmosphere for you to provide for your family in this country. When you look at it in that aspect, how do you two feel with, I mean, it's great that there's job creation. It's great that we're pulling back some of the work that we have done overseas and correlating new aspects and new roads with other countries, utilizing job creation. But, you know, the last statement that I made was, you know, $11 an hour just doesn't cut it anymore. What are your guys' thoughts on what it's going to take to get this country back up on its feet again?
First things first. And I say this all the time, people get mad at it. But, yes, $11 an hour may not be a sustainable wage. Okay? Understandable. I'll give you that. Why the fuck are you trying to get a job that pays $11 an hour? Why are you trying to work for fucking wages when you should be trying to work for fucking profit? That's what I don't understand. You know, everybody's got opportunities somewhere to do something at one point in time or whatever. You know, people got different paths. Some may be more difficult than fucking others. But like what I've said before, people have squandered more opportunities than I've seen, you know, not get any. So as far as it goes with that, it's like, yeah, you don't want $11 an hour fucking job? Go do something that's worth more than $11 an hour. Get some skills. Get some shit outside of basic. Oh, I can type. Oh, I can talk. I have good customer service skills. Well, guess what? You want to do customer service, you're going to be getting paid customer service wages. If it lasts, put forth a little bit more effort, no matter where you are, you can grow somewhere. Like, say, for example, you start off at McDonald's, right? And this is nothing against anybody working at McDonald's. But if one motherfucker goes to be a manager at McDonald's, guess what? Now you have some experience in management. You can take that skill and try to apply for a better job. Now, you may start off lower. You may have to, you know, check your ego and your pride and your paycheck for a little bit. But fuck, you know what I mean? If you got those skills and you can start a little bit less cash than what you're making now, but have more opportunity to grow, people don't want to do that because they don't want to risk it. You know what I mean? We've already gone here, so why go back? But if that's what it calls for, then that's what it fucking calls for. You don't want to work for $11? That's cool. Go do something else. Don't bitch about $11 being like, oh, I can't sustain my family. I'll fucking woo woo. Well, guess what, motherfucker? It ain't meant to be that way. Yeah, I understand inflation's fucked up. I understand the economy's fucked up. And jobs are this and jobs are that. You can work two jobs. You can work three jobs. His point being, there's nothing any of us are ever going to do to fucking fix it because there's too many people that are dependent on fucking money coming from the government, money coming from these fucking programs. And the people that do work get taxed out the fucking ass, so it kills all fucking incentive on what they're actually going to do or what they want to accomplish. Because why am I going to work? You know, if you made $1 million, Don, would you be happy if the government took 400, you know, 1,000 of that away out of your hard-earned fucking money? No. And these assholes want to sit there and fucking act like, oh, they're all self-righteous and shit, and it's okay to tax those rich people. It's like, no, no, motherfucker. If you worked your ass off, made $1 million, and they sent 400,000 of that shit, tell me you wouldn't be a little fucking pissed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. Let's go back to the year 2000. And a lot of people will say bullshit, but go back to the year 2000. I was making $5,000 a week. I ran my own worldwide division for a worldwide corporation. I was the head of the division. You know, granted, I worked 17 hours a day, 7 days a week. But, you know, and for the most part, you know, I worked Saturday and Sunday for free because it was double and triple time. So I actually saw about $3 an hour when I worked those days. But by the time I got my check, I would pay in 1 week in taxes what most people at that time were making in a month. You know, and I'll be quite honest with you, it kind of pissed me off that they put me in a 38% tax bracket. Here I'm a guy just that went to school, gained some knowledge, and had the ability to finally get a job that really actually made me feel good about myself. It put money in my pocket. It allowed me to pay my bills and go out to dinner now and then and take care of aspects of my life. But, you know, you look at where I live now, you know, and see, one thing I don't think people realize is the nation, they see it as one, but it's so critically divided. Okay, on the norm in my state, on the norm, whether you're educated or not, I see people that have gone to school for years and got great degrees that can only find $11 an hour jobs because that's all there is. What do you think it's going to take to fix situations, you know, like where we're at? You know, because you can go to California, you can make 18 to 25 bucks all day long. But out here, you're lucky if you get past the minimum wage or even up to $11 an hour.
I think it comes down to skill set, you know what I mean? I honestly, God, do. Because if people are going to actually go and be like, okay, you got a fantastic degree, but guess what? You got a degree for a job that doesn't fucking exist. Liberal arts. You know what I mean? Like, why are you going to go to college to learn a skill that's not actually going to do anything for you? Yeah, you got a degree in fucking, you got a master's in liberal arts. Okay, motherfucker. Tell me where that's going to fucking apply in real life. You know what I mean? It's like they got all these different fucking courses that just suck money out of these poor fuckers. You know, because that's all it is. It's all a fucking sham. It's all a scam. You know, you get these poor bastards that go in there thinking they're actually fucking learning something and that they're doing something because I went to college, I got a fucking degree. But what did you get a degree in? Does that degree actually fucking have anything that you could do in your life? Is there a fucking field? Can you apply that skill to anything in your fucking life, in anything in the real fucking world, you know? Like, Don, didn't you get a degree in fucking engineering or some shit like that?
Yeah, man, I got my master's in engineering science.
Well, there you go. You know what I mean? That's a skill that is always going to be needed. No matter what anybody wants to say, that skill will always be needed because shit needs to get built. You know, there's the engineers that come up with it, and there's the people that design the shit, and then there's the people that build the shit. Like, there's always going to be that type of work, but nobody wants to go do that work. Okay, then you got the tech companies and all that other shit. It's like, okay, well, check this out. Those motherfuckers are making millions and millions of dollars, and you're going to go fucking work and peddle your ass for them, and they're just going to screw you. That's all that's going to fucking happen because they don't actually have to work for anything. With the type of money that goes into that fucking industry, most people don't have to fucking work for it, and they would rather work for somebody else than make something on their own. You know what I mean? So it all comes down to skill, and, I mean, are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to actually fucking, you know, sacrifice something, because in order to gain something, you have to give something equal value.
Yeah, you know, I hate to cut you off there, brother. You made a great point, but, you know, we're talking about money, and I think we've got the only one that I know that is Cash 916 on the line. What's happening, my brother?
What's good, bro?
Gangsta. Oh, that's good. We got the gangsta in the house.
Good, man. Good. I just got done eating some top ramen, man. I had to carb up to come talk some shit with y'all, man.
You get the pizza, the
ladies
chicken
and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with Cash 916, you know, we can kind of fix that up. We'll just play a real quick little intro into the man that just joined the show.
Smacker.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Hey. My G killing with the
West Side.
Hey, let's show them how to do it. Stoves. Hard fan. Cheese. Riveting. Come on, let's kill them on this one. Let's show these youngsters how to do it, yeah. Cause they doing it wrong. Hey, shout out Hart fam, this coming from the Hart fam. But that nigga Daniel, we pull up in the dark van. 18 hopping on the.
Now this nigga eating top ramen and he's dropping shit like that. So what it be like, bruh?
I'll talk about the family turkey.
Having a hard time hearing you, homie.
What's that?
He rolling that gastro, dog.
Hey, you're rolling that Getro PCS.
Kind of sound like the Charlie Brown teacher right now. Wah, 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 wah.
I know, right?
There we go. We can hear you laugh, though.
Yeah, we can hear him laugh. We just can't hear him talk.
Oh, you can't hear me talk?
Now we can.
There we go. Hey, there,
man.
We go.
You know, before we get back into the shit talking and spreading the love of America, I just got to know, man, how was it come July 5th when you dropped the album? How instrumental was that in your life? I mean, I know you joke around about eating top ramen and this and that, but, I mean, you're going to roll the same no matter if you're rich or not. That's just how we was all raised. But how was that for you to have your album drop, and how is it doing thus far?
It was good, man. Like it was a goal in life that I wanted to do. You know what I mean? If not too many people get a chance to drop an album or something like that, or even to be in the spotlight in any which way, you know, shape or form. But it's cool, man. I mean, the sales are doing cool. Everybody close to me has got it, picked it up. They shot me screenshots of them purchasing it and stuff like that. I've been trying to post up as much as I could. So you know what I mean? It's good. I won't know the sales until September, because they do it quarterly. So, but the next quarter will hit September, so I'll know for sure then. You know what I mean? I've got hit up by a couple, like, you know, a couple people just to do some like openings and stuff like that, man. But I'm careful who I choose to be around with and who do I open for and who's gonna be around and shit like that, man. So, but it's good, man. Life's good, great. Besides, hot as fuck over here.
Yep. Yeah, but you hang with MF, so, bro. This statement's like a double edged sword. No, I'm fucking with you, MF.
It's always a double edged sword, bro. As I said, you know, that's how we get to know each other. That's how we trust each other. Knife and changing hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I give you the
sure.
knife to kill me. You give me the knife to kill you. We develop a trusting relationship.
Yeah, go kill some other people. You feel me?
Oh, shit. It's good to have you on the show, man. You know, it's a trip because, you know, we talked about this last week. You weren't here, Cash, but we talked about this last week. You know, I've never met MF face-to-face. I've never met Travis face-to-face. But yet, I trust them more than a lot of the people that I can count on one hand. You know, what was it in that retrospect that brought you to the Misfits of Gold and still has you fucking with them, bro?
It's exactly what you said, man. There's a genuine in people, you know what I mean? When you're raised your whole life not to trust nobody and to treat everybody suspect, but when, you know, your inner you be like, hey, this dude's kind of cool, you know what I mean? Or I can see where he's coming from, you know what I mean? No holding back at the tongue, you know what I mean? Knowing, I'm not just saying just spurting off at the mouth, but, you know, just speak some real shit, you know what I mean, in the times where it needs to be spoken, and that's what them gentlemen did, man, and, you know, it was real with each other from day one, and then, if you could accept that and be cool, that's all that matters, man, just to be real, and these motherfuckers are some real people.
Yeah, I feel you on that. You know, now that we got kind of like the rainbow shit going on the show today with, you know, ethnic background-wise, you know, I kind of want to, MF, you know, Cash, you might not know about this, but MF and Travis do. You know, still to this day, I'm getting a lot of animosity on a show that I did exposing racism in a promotion. And to my amazement, a lot of the black community, you know, is asking me, where do I get the right, or how do I feel I have the right to use the word my nigger, because I'm not African American. Any one of you three gentlemen on this panel today can justify that question. So I'm going to let either one of you answer that question. You know, actually, I'll throw that to Johnny first, then we'll just go down the line. Johnny, what are your thoughts?
You talking, like, for you or for me?
No, what happened was, bro, I'll explain real quick. There was a promotion that got caught that was using inter-office memos that got leaked that were calling their African-American fighters niggers. And all the fighters brought it to me. I got all the screenshots. But the thing of it is, in life, growing up, I've always been in the hood. I've always hung around different aspects of people. You know, hell, I could walk into the lunatic's house and go, what's up, my nigga, you know, and they don't have an issue with it because I'm family. Why is it that some aspects of life want to take a scenario and create drama when, you know, the word is utilized not in a derogatory manner, but as a brotherhood manner?
Yeah, well, I feel it's the person in general. It's whoever wants to make a big deal out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's usually not the people that they think it's offending. You know what I mean? So, like, I grew up in the hood my whole life. I'm still in the hood. I'm on North Highlands, 8th Street, right now. That's where I live. You know what I mean? And man, bro, we live in a predominantly Mexican and black neighborhood. I've been my whole life. You know what I'm saying? My cousin's half black. We're cool. You know what I mean? There's always been my niggas. My niggas are around all the time. And that's just something that we grew up with. We grew up saying. I never took that as a racial thing or anything like that, but it's the people that look in and be like, what gives him the right to say that when he ain't black? You know what I'm saying? That's not what it means to me. That doesn't mean black people to me. You know what I mean? That means like homie to me. That means, you know what I'm saying? And if anybody around me gets offended by it, you know, they just talk to me. But I've never in my life had no one get offended by it at all. That known me. But I just think it's an individual that wants to create drama. You know what I mean? To try to get more people, like, I don't know. It's usually more people trying to unite that race. You know, they try to unite a race by attacking somebody else. You know, they may have a couple of black listeners that listen to you and be like, hey, so-and-so, hey, Loonies, why does he get to say nigga? You know what I'm saying? Is he black? You know what I mean? They're trying to, you know, I try to group themselves together, and we shouldn't be grouped, man. We're all people.
Yeah, see, the bad thing about it was it was black fighters who brought this to my attention, you know, and black fighters that wanted me to expose this promotion. And if you know a little bit more about the story, what are your thoughts on why the certain aspects of the African-American culture, you know, have an issue being that I say that when I'm only, you know, actually just reiterating what was said about them?
You know, the best way I can say it is, like, you know Sacramento, Don. You know what I mean? Like, it's at one point in time, it was the most ethnically diverse city in the fucking world. Like, it had that title for a little bit of time. You know what I mean? So growing up, it was like, even in Rosemont, bro. Like, I'm from, like, you know, kind of lower middle, whatever the fuck you want to call it, but Rosemont ain't exactly fucking pretty. You know what I mean? But we had a fucking smelting pot. You know, like, I remember through elementary school, junior high, and then I went to fucking main campus over on 65th, you know, we got booted out of there, and fucking went out to fucking by Burbank, dude, to Capital City, you know what I mean? So it's like, growing up in this type of an environment, dude, it's like, I knew white dudes that said it, I knew Asian dudes that said it, I knew Mexican dudes that said it, like, everybody said it around here. Like, if you were from, like, some kind of hood at one point in time, You know what I mean? Like, everybody said it because nobody cared. Like, nobody knew what fucking racism was. You know, it was, like, the craziest thing. Like, we all thought it was still shit in movies because, like, we grew up knowing hella different fucking races. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, fucking later on down life, I realized, like, motherfuckers up in hills and shit, they're a little bit racist. But I think it's where people come from. You know what I mean? Like, we had a talk with Sam Tour before about that shit. He said it was weird that people out here, like Mexicans and, like, other races will actually drop the N-bomb. You know what I mean? And I told him, like, it's just because we're so diverse. But, like, when you get these guys from other areas, like people live in Michigan or people down in the South, you know what I mean? They're going to be in more predominantly, like, black neighborhoods or black society. Like, I guess you want to put it that way. Like, I'm not trying to fucking, you know, poke the bear on that, but it's just the way it is. There's white neighborhoods, there's Asian neighborhoods. It's like sometimes they're more sick than other ones, depending on what demographic it is, you know what I mean? So they're only going to know that. So when they realize that other people actually don't believe in that and see it that way, it like, goes against their beliefs, you know what I mean? But you can't really blame the people because that's what they grew up knew. And same thing with me. It's like, I don't understand how somebody could even be racist. I don't understand how people, you know, dropping the N-bomb. I can understand how, like, maybe it offends people. But I'm like, if you're using it as, like, the homie stature, you know what I mean? Like, the what's up, my dude? There's all types of different ways it's used. But it's like, at the same time, you can tell when somebody's trying to be derogatory with the shit. Like, you can tell because they put more emphasis on the shit. So it's like, you want to get mad at this, but you don't want to get mad at that. It's like, so now we're picking and choosing the fucking battles, dude. And that's where that slippery slope shit comes from. You know, it's like racism. It's like, for real, it's like, I thought in, like, the dictionary was saying, like, one race is superior to another. So like, because, you know, a Mexican cat, even Asians, bro, like, hardcore, like, Laos, Hmong, you know what I mean? I've heard those motherfuckers drop the N-bomb, and it's some of the funniest shit you ever heard. Fuck the dumb shit. Like, how could anybody get mad? Like, listen to those fools. You know what I'm talking about, Johnny? When you get the fucking, like, diehard Asians, when they say that shit, bro, like, they're gangsters, too. Don't get it tripping. They'll get you in daylight.
Oh, yeah, man. Them Asians don't fuck around, bro. when I was young, yeah, hey, I tell you what, even when I was young, we knew not to fuck around with them Asians, bro. No matter how hard I thought it was, because, man, them things are like flies on shit. They just keep coming. You just can't get rid of them. No.
Bro, I seen this motherfucker get cracked in his head with a bat, broad daylight, right? Like, I was ditching school. This, you know, one thing, I was ditching school. But anyway, we was on 65th and Florin, right at the fucking intersection. This motherfucker rolled up on a bike, cracked this dude in the fucking head with a bat while he was still sitting in his car, got on the bike and took off. We were like, damn, like, just done. In broad daylight, bro, like, rolled up, hit the motherfucker, took off, wasn't even tripping. He didn't even speed off. He was just cruising, smoking a cigarette.
Right? You know, see, like, with me, it's hard for me to understand because, like, MF, you my nigga. You know, I'm colorblind in that aspect, you know? To me, I mean, those that are raised in the hood, they understand that relevance to it. But I'm going to ask Travis a question. You know, Travis, you know, growing up in that cave, when you kicking it on the rock, you know, outside your cave up there in the mountains and shit, you know, how was it, homie, for you growing up? I mean, did the other cave, did the Flintstones, the Rebels, did all of them have a problem with you dropping the N-bomb, bruh?
I mean, that was the thing that, you know, MF was saying. At the era I kind of grew up in, Don, you know, I thought we were past all this shit, you know? I thought it was, you know, we came down to on each individual person, you know? Ignorance knows no fucking race. And to be honest, man, you know, I know more white people than I do black people. So naturally, I hate more fucking white people than I ever have black people. I'm more racist against white people than any other race in the entire fucking world, man. They're the only race that has enslaved other cultures, that has had to, you know, spread around the entire fucking globe.
Colonizer.
So it's, you know, it's just one of those things, man, where, again, it comes down to the individual. And it comes down to the fact that, you know, if you have black friends and you're using it in that sort of a term, it's one thing. If you walk up to a random black person that you've never fucking met and say it with hate in your voice, it's all about intent, you know? And that's where it needs to come down onto the individual. And if you're saying anything with hate, whether if it's the N-word, whether if it's saying faggot or retard or kike or spick or Jew, it doesn't matter, you know? What matters is the fucking intent behind it, you know? And if you say that with hate in your heart, you deserve to get punched in the fucking mouth, you know, regardless of your race, your age, your ethnicity, your sexual history. You know, if you're going to spout off something hateful towards someone, you deserve to have your ass whooped. It doesn't matter what the word is. Everybody's so particular on, you know, oh, the N-word has, you know, all of this years and years of
hatred behind it. And, you know, yes, all of that is true. But the fact of the matter is, it's, you know, it's coming at somebody with hate and trying to hurt them. It doesn't matter the race, ethnicity, or anything like that. You know, we have to start treating people as individuals, no matter who you are, no matter if you're the fucking president of the United States or whether you're a homeless black dude living in South Central. Everybody needs to have the same, you know, individual, be held to the same standard as a human being.
Yeah, I mean, I could get, like, if Anderson Cooper walked up in the hood and said, "What's up, my niggers?" You know, I mean, I could understand that aspect of it, but,
yeah.
You know, bro.
Johnny over here, he was like, "Damn, yeah, this one just really said it. Just fuck it."
He got a pretty little mouth.
I mean, yeah, how would that go, man, on the projects off of Broadway if Anderson Cooper popped out of his limo? "Yo, my niggers, what's happening today?" Bruh, that would
get world
fly. Right? But, you know.
He'd get world starred real quick.
Man, but the thing is, I don't think people would just literally look at that fool like, "Did he really just say that shit?" Like,
I'd
you know, like, I'd be like, saying, like, just stuck, like, "What?" Some fucking dorky ass fucking rich motherfucker come out, say some shit like that, like in the middle of the hood, be like, "This was either on drugs, like he's got a death wish, like what the fuck just happened?"
They wouldn't even fuck with him because they think he's all whacked out and shit.
Yeah,
bro, they'd be like, "Oh, this fool's got a fucking AK, like he's just ready to start spraying down like fucking white man went postal."
Why did you pick the whitest, gayest guy to do it? To use an example.
I mean,
well,
if you're going to use an
Mr.
example,
Rogers,
right?
Bro, I could have picked Mr. Rogers, but he's dead.
Yeah, but
Mr. Rogers gets a pass in every neighborhood.
The whitest dude. Oh shit! That just made today's show, man. That's just killing me.
Yeah, for real, dude. Look at him. Dude's gray as shit. And he's gay, right? He's openly gay. So you pick that guy to pop out as an example.
Oh, God. But you know what? I want to take it to the next step because, you know, if you look up the word nigger, you could Google it. Fuck you illiterate motherfuckers that are out there that don't understand how to look something up. Just Google the word nigger, and it's not even going to, you know, perpetuate itself towards an African-American. You know, that's another issue that I'm going to bring up. Man, today's just going to be full of fucking heat. And, man, I'm going to catch a lot of shit off this. But, you know, it's the only way I roll, and I'm on a roll, so I might as well go with it now. You know, retribution. Retribution in this country, man, if you think you deserve retribution in this country, go fuck yourself. First and foremost. You know, because, you know, I hear my people. I'm American Indian. I hear them crying for retribution. You know, to me, fuck that. I earn my own. I ain't looking for no handout. Hell, I turned down the United American Indian Council when I went through college. You know, and then you hear African Americans talk about, "Oh, you know, we deserve money from the government." Because first and foremost, your people sold you to the American people. So if anybody owe you any money, it's Africa. So don't come looking to the American government for a handout. You know, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate over that. I don't know what you gentlemen think about that. But if you know history, then you look back and you look deep into the cracks and the crevices where most people don't want you to see. And it was African-American people that sold African-American people to the American culture. What are your thoughts on that?
Hey,
y'all
man,
got
think,
quiet
like, right
real
now,
quick,
dude,
motherfuckers.
No, I'm trying to listen to what you say. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to give an ignorant answer. You know what I mean? So, man, I just think you said it right before you started saying all that, man. You got to get out and get your own. You know, no one's gonna hand out, no one's gonna give you shit. I just saw a TMZ interview with Dr. Dre's son after he did that big old, after he became a certified billionaire, whatever. They asked his son about, "Hey, now that your father's this billionaire, you know, how much you think you're gonna get? You're gonna get him cut, blah blah blah." He's like, "Hey, that's his money. He did that." I'm proud of him. You know, he did that. I ain't looking for no handout. He does whatever he wants. And that's how I think, man. I mean, if you want to be categorized in the group, kind of like a class action lawsuit, you know what I mean? That you get your cut if you win. You know what I mean? But if you attack it by yourself, you get that full reward. So why rely on other people's shit and other people's pain? You know what I mean? And not go out there and get that shit yourself, man. You know what I mean? Don't expect nothing from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel. And I'm not disrespecting anybody. The reason I say this is because... Yeah. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Why are you laughing at, man?
Oh, that made my fucking day. His son was like, yeah. And then you said, yeah. And silence.
I know, right? This shit just went dead. Like, y'all motherfuckers didn't want to answer that. But,
I'm not trying to smoke in the fucking car, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you're spot on, dude. But it's like, when you really think about it, when people want to talk about slavery, let's keep it up, gangster. How many civilizations have been enslaved? How many civilizations have fallen because somebody conquered them? It's like, I mean, it wasn't just white people. You know, and that's just fucking sad, but that's how fucking history goes, dude. It's like, there's still human trafficking going on right now. But nobody cares.
Bro.
Nobody cares. So it's like we pick and choose what battles we want to have because they personally affect us. But yeah, we expect everybody else to cater to us. So it's like how can society actually fucking, you know, thrive like that? How can it survive like that? It fucking can't. You know, it's like everybody's arguing about who's oppressed more, who had a fucking worse life, who had this, who had this. Jesus fucking Christ. You know what I mean? Like we all go through our own struggles that were designed for us. You know, that's how it fucking goes. That's how we grow. We don't grow when we're fucking comfortable. And if people just want to keep bitching about shit, like, I understand, yeah, you were dealt a shit hand. Dude, there's nothing I can do about that. But guess what, too? It's like, you want to talk about slavery and other things in this country? It's like, last I checked, whites fought to fucking free the blacks. You know what I mean? There were whites that fought and died for that shit. So it's like, you're going to take away from that, but say, like, oh, they were still slavery. We deserve reparations. Well, what about the white people that fought to, you know, save you? Don't you think they deserve a little bit, too, maybe? Oh, no, but that's fucking racist, right? That's what I don't fucking understand. You know, it's like the oppression factor. Everybody's just focused on that rather than, like, how are we going to grow? How are we going to get better? Because if I can't fix myself, how the fuck am I going to contribute back to my community? Oh, but wait, is the community supposed to give back to me, not the other way around? And that's where everybody's got it fucked up, you know? Fuck it if it's, you know, fatherless this or drugs this or, you know, I got this or this person was this or this fucking happened in my life and the world's just fucking shitting on me. It's like, yeah, dude, life happens. Everybody gets shit on at one point in time, and it's always funny because it fucks us in the way that affects us the most. Some peoples are just fucking different, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the only thing you can do is focus on what you can do as an individual, because if you can actually better yourself and work on yourself and you realize that it's by helping other people is really how life is supposed to work. You know, like we're supposed to be trading something. It's like we're supposed to be some kind of beneficial, what would you say, like knives exchanging hands, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be some kind of benefit to having that relationship, because if not, it's going to be toxic or it's going to be fucking draining you. But if we can both prosper, you know, like if it takes two of us, three of us, four of us to get to that finish line, but as individuals we wouldn't be able to, like, where's the fucking sense in that? Like, why wouldn't we just fucking work together to get to that goal? Yeah, we're either all not going to make it or we're going to split it fucking four ways. What's your choice?
Yeah, see, now we've got another issue that's perplexing our country. And I know this to be fact because I know individuals that this is happening to that had dual citizenship that are from Mexico that are now having their dual citizenships revoked. They're now being transported back to Mexico. And then, you know, I seen an article the other day that kind of just made me laugh, you know, because they're talking about, we don't want people coming from Mexico stealing our jobs. We don't want people coming from other countries stealing our jobs. You know what? But you like eating that salad. You like having that lettuce and that tomato and that cucumber on your damn sandwich. Well, who in the hell do you think is picking it? Who in the hell do you think is out there in 112-degree heat working for $4, $5 an hour? They're the Mexicans or the Africans or the Asians. You know, they're the people that society don't want to think about. So what is America going to do now that they're not going to have fresh vegetables on their table? Do you see and I hate to put it this way, but do you see the arrogant upper echelon of white society going out in the fields and picking this shit? Hell no. So with that being said, I'm gonna throw it to Travis. Travis, what are your thoughts on that scenario?
Man, I mean, I think it's absolutely spot on. And one of the things that I find, you know, the strangest about it is you talk to any educated person. I mean, let's just take us right here. We all understand, though, that like, you know, our struggles are the things that have made us strong. You know, Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey, everybody wants to, you know, come from nothing and make it of something. And at the same time, you know, look at like, who is that chick that they won't shut up about on the radio now? Demi Lovato. Just heard this on the rail over here. You know, the chick from Disney Channel who now just had a fucking heroin overdose yesterday. You know, look at Macaulay Culkin. Look at every single child actor. Look at everybody who was born rich and who was born a star. And from, you know, the age of 8 until 20, they were told that they were great and they had all the money in the world, you know. It fucking ruins people. If you get all of, you know, the benefits of having all this money and this power and this, you know, unlimited do whatever the fuck you want fuck off coupons that, you know, we've turned money into, but you don't have the character and the morals and you haven't been through the struggle, you haven't learned the lessons that money brings, you know, it fucking ruins you. How many people end up on heroin and fucking broke who had everything? But then, you know, how many stories do you hear about people who, you know, they struggled their entire fucking lives. They didn't have their first break until they were 40. And, you know, then they finally got into a movie or they finally came up with an invention or something that, you know, changed their lives. And those are the kind of people who have a positive impact on society because they've already learned the lessons that come along, you know, that you have to go through. You have to go through this struggle to be able to learn, you know, just how to function in society. So I find it so weird that, you know, we don't honor that more, that we don't help the people who have good hearts and who have good ideas but who have gotten a shit roll of the dice or who are, you know, born without fucking parents or, you know, all of these things where it's like we would rather focus on why we were oppressed and bitch and whine and look for a handout and say, oh, my great-grandparents were slaves and my great-grandparents were, you know, killed by white men. Even though the fact that, you know, I wasn't, I've never been oppressed, I was never a slave for a day, you know, I'm Native American like you, Don. Our people aren't even fucking here anymore. And the ones that are is just, you know, an ongoing show of how the government does not give a fuck about you or honor the things that they say it's going to. So, again, it comes down to us as a society having to get together, and we have to, you know, reprioritize what is important to us, you know. Is it just money? Is it just selfishness and ego and who's got the best Facebook page? Or are we going to actually care about the people around us and the people in our community, you know, our neighbors that are struggling? All the little kids in our, you know, that go to our school that go fucking hungry, you know? Why can't we take on some of that ability rather than just bitch and whine about all the things that we don't have and how we were oppressed?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, I want to touch on something you said. You know, Demi Lovato, I had an offer to have her on my show. I wouldn't give her the airtime, but I'm a dick like that. But secondly, you know, I have to agree, you know, with God, and this is the first time I think I'm ever going to say this. I mean, I think I completely agree with everything you're saying, Travis, you know, but the thing of it is, and I think we're overlooking the aspect is, you know, the more and more we push the people that are the foundation of this country out of this country, the more America's going to realize that there's a lot of fucking dirty jobs that they don't want to do. There's a lot of stuff that they feel that they're above. And being a migrant farm worker, you go down to Modesto, Merced, you know, Turlock, anywhere in there, and I guarantee you, you ain't going to find one white motherfucker working up in the fields. And if you do, it's because they're homeless and they're hungry and they know the struggle, and the struggle's real. And 90% of America don't know this. You know, but we look at the tent cities. Hell, they don't put that shit up on the news. We look at the politicians that have family members that murder somebody or commit a crime. That shit don't never hit the news or their mugshot never goes up. Why? Because they buy their way out. Do you think that America's based off, I mean, in my opinion, America's based off the almighty fucking dollar. If you ain't got it, you ain't nobody. And I'm going to toss that to you, Johnny. because you're in between. You know, you're not black, you're not white. You know, you're a mixture of Hispanic and I guess Caucasian, I guess you could say, or however the fuck you want to put it.
Yeah.
But you know,
I'm white. I'm half white.
You know,
you look
in a minority world. What you know?
Yeah.
What is your thoughts seeing the way, you know, America's pushing out the migrants, and who do you think is going to pick up the slack of the country, or do you see the country coming to a demise in that aspect? Because the grocery stores are no longer going to have fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables. They're no longer going to have certain aspects that Americans won't. The average white person will not go to the field and work. I can guarantee you know that much right there. So where do you see? With the more that we push the Mexicans out of the country, where do you see our country going?
I think we see it already, because there's some cities and there's some places, California, Texas, and all, you know, surrounding the borders, where there's a safe city. You know what I mean? Illegal immigrants can go there and be safe and not have to worry about the cops getting called on them or ICE getting called on them. So there, you already see value. You know what I mean? There's value in every way. Number one, I'm proud to be an American, man. I was born here. You know, I was born and raised here. Fuck, the same city my whole life. You know, my great-grandma came here from Mexico. You know what I mean? I'm Mexican. My dad's half white and half Mexican. My mom's full Mexican. So I have a little bit of white in me. You know what I mean? I've never seen a white side of my family. We're all Mexican. But, dude, you don't see anybody else. It's 104 degrees outside, and I guarantee you I can go around the corner and find the corn man and the fruit man. You know what I mean? Sitting in under his little umbrella shade just trying to make $5 a cup. You know what I mean? I guarantee you around the other corner there's a dude selling oranges and strawberries, you know, $4 a basket, or cherries. You know what I mean? And it's not white people doing it. You know, it's not even black people doing it, or Asians. Sometimes you see some Asians with the strawberry stands, you know what I mean? But they're doing it. They're laboring. They're doing that shit. You know, they're doing the hard work. They're nannies. They're cleaning the houses. You know what I'm saying? My ex-wife, her family's white. They hired two Mexican ladies to clean their house because they didn't want to do all the detail work. They didn't want to get in behind, you know, the knickknacks and shit like that. But there's value to everything, man. There's value to everybody. And the more, like, what do you say? You don't know what you have until it's gone. You know what I'm saying? That's how it's going to be. To me, that's how it feels like. But you know what I'm saying? I'm proud of being American, but I'm not proud of, you know, this shit of going on like this. You know what I mean? Just because somebody wanted a better life, how do you blame them? We advertise the land of the free, home of the brave, the land of opportunity. You know, your dreams come true if you come to America, but then they don't want you to come. So, you know, like, you're entitled to teasing people. You know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, it's a way of bringing people, I guess. You know, we have this, we're this, come and get it. But nope, you're not coming in to get it. You know, even though it'll make our economy and everything better, not going to do it. I don't know. It's weird to me, man.
Yeah, I know. I'll feel you 100. And these people are going to realize it when they go to order their Whopper or their Big Mac and there ain't no lettuce, tomato, or onion on that motherfucker. You know, how big of a difference and how big of an impact, you know, the minority culture plays in America. MF Beck, you truly are a man that's very wise in certain aspects. You know, you look at everything as an open book, and you speak from your heart. Where do you see this perplexing as far as – I mean, you're from California. All of you are from California in that aspect. But where do you see – Do you see it dividing the culture, or do you see America finally admitting that, hey, we fucked up and we need to let these people back in?
Yeah, fear-mongering would be the best way I could actually say that one. Because that's how it's projected with everybody. Yeah, these people are scared that, you know, these hard workers are going to take all their jobs that they don't want to do. We all know that. I'm white and I fucking know that. I was like, I'm not trying to be on that field. That's why I do what I do. You know what I mean? But I contribute to my shit same way fucking they contribute. But you shouldn't hate on the motherfucker and, like, get all mad and fucking worried about shit, you know, when these people come over here and they're working hard and they're doing everything else. So if you got fear-mongering on one side, and you got the fear-mongering of fucking, you know, like, these people are demons and these people are this and they got fucking this and all this other shit. So it's like they're casting fear on both sides of these people. And then you got the actual innocent people behind it, the people that are like what Johnny said, you know,
they were told that they could come over here and make something of themselves and actually, like, you know, get something for their effort and for their work, and they could fucking do this shit. And it's like they're being held hostage by both sides and getting fucked royally, but nobody wants to talk about that shit. You know, all people care about is, oh, well, we need to crack down on illegal immigration. We need to do this, and we need to do this. It's like every president deports people. Every president has done certain fucking shit. And now all of a sudden, it's the only difference is now you got this group of people being used by pawns by both fucking sides. By both fucking sides, use these people. You know what I mean? And that's how I see the shit. Because I know some hardworking motherfuckers. Like, there's quite a few people I know that, you know, weren't legal. I'll just keep that shit gangster. I'm not going to say no names on shit. And they were motherfuckers I worked with over the years. And guess what? Some of the most trusting, hardworking motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, I would ask these two brothers, like, to cover my ass on some shit, and I had to fucking go do something. And you know what? They would fucking do it to a T. And then some. You know what I mean? They were always bringing food and all types of other shit. Like, they were willing to get dirty when nobody else was. That's why I'm like, how could you hate on these fucking people? Like, I understand where one side's coming from, but I understand where the other side's coming from. But ultimately, it's these people cannot be used as fucking pawns, dude. Like, if everybody just keeps feeding into the fucking propaganda with the shit, this group of people is going to be demonized while being fucking, you know, literally, like, dehumanized. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it truly is. And I don't see no instant fix to it. Man, I'm still just in my head and heart. I know we're on a serious subject, but in my head and my heart, I still can't get over the Anderson Cooper shit.
Anderson Cooper got a Mexican house keeper, I guarantee it.
I'm done. Oh, I just can't picture that happening. You know what? Honestly, if that shit did happen, Anderson Cooper was to pop out in the hood and do that, yeah, I don't think nobody would fuck with him because, yeah, he'd have to be whacked out. You know,
you got to do that shit for Halloween now, though. You got to gangster it up and fucking go with Halloween and take that shit to your profile, you know what I mean?
He's got to be a gangster-ass Anderson Cooper with face tats and shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Get your ass in a music video dressed as Anderson Cooper.
And jump out in the hood and talk some shit. That would be crazy. You know, I love this show because, you know, we can all really talk about our thoughts, our personal thoughts, but we can bring up situations that are occurring across, you know, supposed to be, like Johnny said, you know, land of the free, home of the brave. And, you know, we give all these people promises and, you know, it's funny because I met a gentleman that came from, I think it was Uganda or something like that, and he couldn't wait to go back home. You know, he couldn't, in all honesty, he couldn't wait to go back home. He said, you know, I heard so many great things about America. You know, I was so looking forward. I saved my money my whole life to get an opportunity. I got an opportunity to come here. He says, now I have to save my money to go back. He said, this place is nothing like it's portrayed, you know, in a third world country. When you hear people from other countries now saying that America isn't what it used to be, you know, that they would rather go back to where they came from. How does that change your thoughts? And I'll start with you, Travis.
Oh, man. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, though, where it is all a matter of perspective. Because while he might say that, you know, you can go to any public park in America and you can drink from a fucking water fountain. You know, that's better than fucking Uganda. You know, we do have, for the most part, police that don't allow just riots and, you know, villages of other tribes to come in with machetes and fucking kill everybody. You know, I think I've said this statistic on here before, but if you make $30,000, technically speaking, you're in the top 1% of wealth in the entire world, you know? So it all comes down to a matter of perspective, but I think what's the most fucked up about it is we have this famine mindset. We have this mindset that there's not enough for everybody, you know? We have to hold everyone down and oppress these people, and we have to keep everybody, you know? You got to keep the peasants from reading, because if they get too smart, they'll fucking overthrow the empire. And we're at the point now where, you know, I honestly believe that there are enough fucking resources for everybody. A great way to stop the fucking drug war and to stop all this crime with Mexico is make all drugs fucking legal and fucking regulate them. How about we help out Mexico and Canada? You know, how about we, they're attached to the same fucking landmass as we are. And I find it so weird that that we would rather be attached to a third world country than to try and help that country, you know, excel and become partners with it, use Mexico's natural resources with it, and gain an alliance, you know, to where we can make this entire fucking continent stronger. But we have to transcend this stupid fucking tribalism, you know, these arbitrary lines that are drawn in the sand. You know, I mean, we have on the ballot, Sean, to split up and to break California into three fucking states. That's a mindfuck to me, man. Like, that is changing my worldview in the sheer fact that it's just like, oh, next month we could just have some new magic arbitrary lines drawn, and now this is just three fucking states from here on out, you know? None of it makes any fucking sense to me. This entire country, 200 years ago, used to be fucking Mexico. You know, but we think that because we bought it for $10,000 from Russia or whatever the fuck the Louisiana Purchase was.
Louisiana.
You know, and we committed a fucking genocide against the native peoples that were here. This is ours now, and we got to protect it from all the Mexicans that we fucking kicked out of here.
Colonized.
You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It is so paradoxical and just so ignorant to think of with all the technology and all the knowledge we have today. We have to move out of this famine mindset and move into more of a global, help everyone out, you know, sort of a mindset.
But we got to be able to take care of our own first. You got to fix yourself, then you can work on the community, then you can work on the city, then you can work on the fucking state. But until anybody actually takes any fucking responsibility for what they're doing and what they actually contribute to fucking society, it's not going to fucking change anything. So everybody's more pissed about fucking their differences or who's doing this and who got fucked this way and who was born this way. It doesn't fucking matter.
Right. And then when you really look at it, I mean, we could talk this shit all day long, but when you really look at it, you whip out that phone in your pocket. That motherfucker wasn't made in the U.S. You know, you whip out your PC. That motherfucker wasn't made in the U.S. Johnny's phone might be because it's made from Getro PCS, but, you know.
I got a gadget. I ain't waterproof.
That shit was made in Canada.
But on a serious note, I mean, we talk about this shit, and they're very relevant topics, but I don't see any change, man. You go, you click on your TV. Where's that motherfucker made? You get your cable box. You look at the back. That motherfucker said made in China. You know, I think the problem is that we need to make more in America and allow and create an aspect of America. How can we preach that we're the greatest country in the world when we don't even make our own shit? I mean, seriously,
right.
On a note. Tell
you
me, other than American flag,
want,
and we probably have the motherfuckers in Korea. I mean,
that's
but seriously, I don't know.
Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but yeah,
right
we don't make none of our own shit.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why that country is considered great to fucking any douchebag fucking mind, because they get everybody to do shit for them. That's why fucking they're the boss. You know what I mean? It's just like delegation and a fucking job. If everything's coming from all these different countries, they're like, yeah, we'll pay you guys this much, you give us this, and we're going to charge the shit out of our people, and that's how we're going to pay you, because you guys don't have the same standards that we actually have to apply in our government. So it's actually cheaper if I get it from you, and then I can just bring it over here and, you know, fandangle it and boom, sell it over here. So when you look at it, it's like the rest of the world is employed by the U.S. That's how a fucking deranged way of looking at it, but that's how it fucking works. But they get money from us because we buy their shit. And I'm only saying we because you're talking about America and everything else and why is America great. That's why it's fucking great. As cold piece as that fucking is, yeah, everything's made everywhere else. Why do we do it here? Why are we going to waste our resources?
Right. I mean, it's a thought that crossed my mind since I'm probably going to get tons of hate for this show today anyway. I really don't give two shits. Hell, I've been shit on all month, so, you know, what's another couple weeks in my eyes? I mean, that's a great job of being a journalist.
Let's start fresh next
month,
okay?
But you know, on my last topic before we jump off here, you know, it's another topic that's going to fucking bring the lovers out to me. You know, we talk about Donald Trump and his relationship with Putin. But you know what? I got to hand this to Donald Trump, you know, this time. They could say whatever the fuck they want. You know, he's in it for one thing. He's in it for Russian oil. You know, Russia has more oil per capita than any other country in the world. Okay, yeah, people say we got Texas, we got Alaska. But you know what? We use more oil than we can produce in our own country. So we're stockpiling ours, and we're utilizing a friendship with Russia to create this basis of a flow of oil to the United States. Do you think that in that variance that America is a sellout, or do you think it's a smart move on behalf of Donald Trump?
I think it's smart as shit, dude. You employ your enemies faster than you employ your friends. They actually got something to fucking prove. So, you know, and then it's at the same time, it's like you're not friends, so he's not going to pull the homie card. But if, you know, Putin makes friends with fucking Trump, makes friends with the U.S., he's going to be busting his ass to try and keep that fucking friendship, you know what I mean? And then when you look at it on, like, business side, and it's like, fuck politics. If you look at Trump from, a political standpoint, you'll never understand it. Look at it from a business standpoint. Number one, he's employing his enemy. Smart fucking move on his part. Number two, like what you were talking about, he's now increasing resources. So it's like, how are you not going to do that? And then let alone that, if he becomes, you know, whole horse with fucking Russia, there's no longer an enemy that we actually got to worry about fighting. And let alone that, you turn that into, like, Russia and the U.S., like, what could anything go against that? Name one. Name one entity in this on this planet right now that could go against the U.S. and Russia together. To me, it's just on a business standpoint, it's probably the smartest thing he could have fucking done. Because he made peace with Kim Jong-un and he made peace with fucking Russia. It's like, yeah, well, guess what? Now two of the biggest problems are now cool. They're cooler than the other side of the pillow. You know, he gave Kim Jong-un all this shit. You know, he's going to be like a kid in a fucking candy store, so he's happy. You know, now he's working with fucking Russia, and he's going to find a way to fucking, you know, make a business transaction where Russia will actually prosper as well as the U.S. and this shit. Watch. And people are just going to hate it because they're like, oh, they're worried about World War III. Oh, next thing you know, oh, don't become friends with him. He's a douchebag. It's like, so what do you fucking want?
I think it's really weird, too, Don. It's like, you know, I think that's a spot where the mainstream media has really fucked up. Because all I've seen so far, you know, from a lot of the left-leaning outlets is with Kim Jong-un and with Russia, it's like they don't want fucking peace. It's like they are so fucking hungry to keep this war going. It's like, oh, he makes peace with Kim Jong-un, and what do they say? Oh, you're making peace with a dictator. He's a war criminal. You're a fucking monster. But it's like they're calling him a monster for stopping wars and making peace with all these fucking nuclear superpowers so we don't have to worry about it. I don't understand how anybody could twist that into being a bad thing.
Hey, I think of it like this, the old school rule, keep your family far away and your enemies closer. You know, they're potential, you know, enemies as of, you know, before now, you know, but, hey, you got to see their moves, what's going on, especially they have resources. Like they were saying, come on, why not we all eat? Why not we all, you know, contribute to the pot? Why can't, see, this is world peace, right? That's what everybody wants, but not everybody wants to complain about how it's made. You know what I mean? Beggars can't be choosers, man.
Right, and then they offer no fucking solutions themselves. They just want to bitch to bitch.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I
yep.
To me, honestly, I fucking hated Trump in the beginning. You know, MF and me.
I know you did, motherfucker.
We had weekly debates and arguments, and you know, I tell you what, the more and more I read about this guy, the more I watch about this guy. He might play stupid on Twitter. He might play like a dumbass on TV, but I got to tell you what. He's one of the first presidents that I've seen make moves. You know, Obama really took this country down, you know. And, you know, I seen a joke the other day, and it had me dying. It was on a Snoop Dogg roast. He told Trump that he was probably the first white man that ever pushed the black family out of the White House. And he truly was. But you know what? If you look at what Obama did for this country, he created debt. He created inequality. Everybody thought he was going to bring the people together having a black president. And you look at Obamacare and you look at all the other aspects that he created on his path. You know, me being a person that is up in age and of course, on Medicare. Oh, I love saying that. But,
oh,
you know,
man.
It,
AARP?
Oh, bro, I'm there.
Man, you get to eat up this, you get to flip the menu over. Huh.
It's fucked up, bro. Hey, man, that senior citizens discount really helps. But on the real, man, you know, it's just like I see a life of everybody always pointing the finger, everybody always saying we can do this, we can do that. But Trump is the only one that I see creating change. And, you know, I think he had a big load to pick up and fix stepping into the White House after Obama. You know, a lot of people, you know, hate me. They can say whatever they want. But I think Trump is doing a tremendous job. A lot of people might disagree with me. you know, I do have some issues on immigration, but what you're always going to have a problem with somebody. But I kind of like to end today's show because I know we all got to get about our business. But, you know, to the listeners out there, remember in life, we're all a little bit broken, you know, and that comes from Hemingway. And I tell you what, MF and Travis, I got to hand it to you guys. You guys kind of put my thought process into the past. And when I looked into the past, I saw the future. And a lot of people won't understand that because they don't look at philosophy. They don't understand some of the greatest, you know, Greek mythologists and aspects of that part of life. But if you go back and you look, you'll realize that some of the greatest content, some of the greatest people of our time are already gone. And in my thought and in my heart, society is going backwards. So on this final thought and final question of the show, and I'll start with you first, Travis, do you feel that, you know, American civilization or any civilization has already peaked? And do you feel we're going backwards as time moves forward?
Oh, man. I mean, it's such a big question because of that variable that, you know, nobody's had to deal with before. That's the Internet, you know. It's tribal, this interconnectedness that is both our greatest strength and our greatest weakness. And, you know, it's up to the individual, like we always say, to decide on which way, you know, this thing is going to go. And, you know, like I said, it's the greatest variable in human history, and we're caught in the middle of it right now. And I think it's on the everybody as an individual. You know, it really is your responsibility to decide how the future of this world is going to go. You know, are we going to keep bitching and bickering about our stupid fucking tribalism and our Facebook until we just fall apart as a society and collapse into fucking civil war and to Roman times? Or are people going to pull their head out of their asses and realize that, no, we all have fucking common sense. There are common sense laws. Everyone knows not to rape, not to murder, not to fucking steal. And we can stop with all the bullshit and move forward, you know, with a society-first mindset, with everybody else above us, with a, you know, with the fact that your rights end at the exact point where another man's begin, you know. But we as an entire country have to have a conversation. We have to sit down and we have to reprioritize what it is that we want and what way our future is going to hold. And like I've said, you know, many times, Don, I think it's things like this, like conversations, that's where it has to start, you know. And as soon as you get the government saying that you guys can't have this, you guys can't talk about this idea or have this fucking conversation, that's when it goes down, you know, the dystopian nightmare and Civil War route.
Hey, I'm surprised the FCC didn't shut me down today, but I'm going to toss that to you, MF, and then we'll get Johnny's final thought.
Remember, Don, how I talked about before Cicero back in BC times?
Yes, sir.
Do you ever remember me talking about that guy? But he had pretty much talked about the six downfalls of man. And granted, this is like 2500 BC, you know what I mean? So you were talking about today's society, have we grown, have we anything? And I'm just going to tell you the six downfalls of man right now. And keep in mind, this is 2500 BC, bro. So the first one, the delusion that personal gain is baked by crushing others, number one. Number two, the tendency to worry about things that cannot be changed or corrected. Number three, insisting that a thing is impossible because we cannot accomplish it. Number four, refusing to set aside trivial preference. Number five, neglecting development and refinement of the mind and not acquiring the habit of reading and study. Number six, attempting to compel others to believe and live as we do. And that was 2500 BC, bro. Now, do you really think that humans have evolved? Because I can name all six of those right now.
No, I that's why I brought up the relevant point that I feel we're going backwards. You know, as a society, I feel that some of our greatest attributes of life have already preceded us. You know, you speak of Martin Luther King, we speak of Rosa Parks, we speak of Cicero, and we can go back to different other aspects of generations before Christ and after Christ, and it's all relevant. You know, Johnny, what are your thoughts on, you know, where we're at in society? Are we going backwards? I mean, you're a young man. You've seen life from when you can remember it to now. Do you see it taking a step backwards?
I'm kind of like coming from where Travis is coming from, man. I mean, I've experienced life, man. I was born in 1980, So no seatbelts, fucking ashtrays in the house, in the car. You know what I mean? No cup holders. You know, that type of era to play outside all fucking night to now, hold on, phones, cordless phones, answering machines, or now a cell phone, a pager. You know, just the technology, I think, as like, I think we're better, you know, in certain ways to make life easier, but I feel like we still lack the old school type of, you know, the way, the greatness like you were talking about. Like, when have you ever heard somebody give a speech like, you know, like Martin Luther King speech, like you were talking about Martin Luther King? You know, when have you had people stand up? When have you had people like that do that shit today? Just because they're them and they want to make a statement, or they have a movement, or they have a message. You know, it always has. Every time somebody's standing up and shouting something, it's always been against some type of violence or some stupid shit like that. But you know what I mean? It's hard, man. We're not over yet. You know what I mean? I think it takes people like around my age that's experienced this type of generation and then experienced last generation to really give your, you know, our thoughts and our ideas and really try to make shit happen if we feel something's going wrong. You know, speak up for wrong, you know, when shit's getting done wrong. You know, applaud that shit that gets done right.
Shit, I agree with that.
I
still got years.
Right. I love it, man. You know, I think it's great that we can all come together and share our thoughts. And
it's not at the same time.
Hey, man, it's all good, though, bro. It's all good. You know, but I know we all got to get about our business and do what we got to do in life. But, you know, I tell you what, it was truly an honor to have Cash call in today. You know, my brothers MF and Travis, you know, it's always an honor to have you on the show. I look forward to this when we can do it every other week or every week when I'm not too damn busy or being so ridiculed that I can't get on the air because they won't let me. But,
you're in IHOP for that
week. Travis, is there anything you want to add to the show before we bounce, my brother?
Shout out Justin Ford, fight for the heavyweight title at Panda Cup on August 25th. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Clicking to the point. MF, the final thought of the week and not the one sitting in the back seat.
Yeah, actually, I ain't got no room for no bitch like that. And, you know what I mean? I got a small back seat. I ain't got time for that shit. But, yeah, my thoughts were on Cicero, bro, just talking about people in general, you know what I mean? It's like, focus on yourselves. Focus on the part of yourself that you're so busy denying, and that's where your real growth will happen. You know, just right outside of your fear.
I like that. Focus on the part of you that you're denying. That I might steal that, bro. That's pretty deep. You know, John.
Yeah, I heard that from somewhere. So I mean, you could quote it, Doc, but I give credit too. It ain't mine. I read something like that. And I'm just paraphrasing. It's something simpler.
Right. Johnny, you got anything you want to add before we bounce up out of here, brother?
Oh, man, that's what I appreciate, everybody, man. That's all. If people are good to you, return the favor. You know what I'm saying? That's all. Love each other.
Hey, that's all we got to do, man. You know, whether you're black, white, Chinese, whatever, who gives a fuck, man? If we were colorblind,
right?
We would all know different. On that note, leave here with a little bit of Cash on the way out. Peace, my brothers. God, have a good day, and God bless.
Hey, smooth. Volume up. Turn it up, yeah, that part. All bass, no treble, yeah, that part. You hear the motherfucking strings, yeah, that part. I'm just in it for the cream, yeah, that part. I grew up with hood dreams, yeah, that part. So I want a hood thing, yeah, that part. Must have the mayo on gold things, that part. Cuban link, pinky ring, yeah, that part. Thick ass bankroll, yeah, that part. Hella thick assholes, yeah, that part. Feel like Tupac fresh out, spitting on you niggas. Or something like a dyke, I'm spitting on you kids. Shoulders, homie, you can get the mittens. We can go for the holster and the boat to get the spit. Guerrilla militia tactics, yeah, that part. I'm a Sacramento king, yeah, that part.
That part.
It's in my 9 hole 16, that part.
Cash.